I want to thank you for coming, and I want to thank you especially those of you who have texted in questions. Over the last number of weeks, you've answered the questions, is Jesus the only way to God in a world with many different faiths and religions? Last week we answered the question, is Christianity just a bunch of rules and regulations? And then I must have picked the short straw, and I've got to answer the question tonight, why do I love sin? Why do I love sin? And I wonder, is that a question that you ask yourself? Is that a question that you ask yourself? Why do I love sin? But before I get into the specifics of that, I want to ask you this. Would you agree with me that this world has a problem? Would you agree with me that this world has a problem? When you pick up your newspapers, would you say that there's many world wars happening that have happened over the last 100 years? Do you see many things in the papers about HIV and cancer? And then even if you picked up your newspaper last Sunday, or you turned on your mobile phone, or you opened up your laptop and you saw that Gary Speed, a model professional, footballer, model husband, a great football manager, a great family, commits suicide and takes his own life. Would you agree with me that the world has a problem? But I want to get a little bit more specific before we sort of delve into what the answer to the problem is. Would you agree that you have a problem tonight? Not just the world and over the last 100 years or thousands of years with many world wars. Steve, you just got to drive up to our own community here in Northern Ireland on the Shankill Road and the Falls Road to see that there's a wall that separates two communities because our community has a problem. And I believe the Bible says about our own lives that we have a problem. I wonder, as you look into your own heart and investigate your heart for just a few moments, have you ever tried to say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to stop doing that thing that nobody else knows about. And you make these resolutions and you make these goals, and only for a couple of days later or a couple of hours later or even a week later, you find out you can't keep it. And there's things that you do in your own life that your conscience tells you're wrong. I know I shouldn't do that. That's not moral. That's not good. That's not right. But yet there's a deeper inner drive within you that spurs you on to do it. Well, I believe that's what the Bible calls the problem of sin. The problem of sin. Now, the proper definition from the original language in the word sin means to actually miss the mark. Now, Ruan Pienaar, when he's kicking for the post, doesn't often miss, thankfully. It's a blessing that Paul doesn't kick, because I've seen Paul in many a training session try to kick. Now, he's a good box kicker, some of you rugby players know. He can kick it in the air well, but you see off the tee, he's a disaster. Ruan, I'm glad he's here. I'm glad that evangelist spoke to him, because off the tee, Ruan can, generally speaking, hit the mark. But the Bible says in our lives, when we try to live this morally perfect, this morally good life, there's something deep down within us that is an inner drive that what the Bible calls sin. And so I want to answer this question for just a few moments to say, what is this question? Why do I love sin? And here are some of the things that I've asked people. I've asked them, why do you love sin? And one person said to me, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. Someone else says, it satisfies my very nerve endings. Another person says, it brings me relief from the pressures of my life, the problems of my life, and the things that perplex me in my life. Someone else says, it helps me to be accepted and loved by different people and by different groups. I wonder, is that you tonight? Are those some of the reasons why you love to sin? And I want to say to you at the start of this evening that even though I'm a pastor, I'm what I call a saved sinner. Stand here tonight that Jesus Christ has come into my heart and my life, and he's transformed me and he's turned me upside down. But you know what the Bible says? I'm still a saved sinner. I still fail. I still miss the mark. But you say, Johnny, I want to know, why do I love sin? Take me to the very root of the problem. Why is it in this world that we love sin? Well, back thousands of years ago, in the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve. He put them in this perfect environment called Eden. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it said, God made everything, and behold, it was very good. But then just a few verses later, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, God spoke to Adam and Eve and says, you can have everything in the Garden of Eden. You can take from anything, but there's just one thing I don't want you to take from. You see that tree over there? It's the tree called of knowledge of good and evil. And don't go near that tree. Don't touch that. I'm telling you to stay away from that. Unfortunately, that's not where the story ended in Eden. Because you get into Genesis chapter 3 and suddenly this person called the serpent arrives. And so you've Adam and Eve in this perfect environment. And as Paul was talking about, we have an imperfect relationship with God. But at that stage, Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with God. Their pleasure was in Him. Their joy was in Him. Their satisfaction was Him. There was no crying. There was no pain. There was no HIV. There was no cancer. There were no wars. But then the serpent showed up and comes to Eve and says, Did God really say? You can't eat from that tree. And then Eve kind of has this debate with the serpent. And then the serpent comes to Eve and says, you see, if you eat from that tree, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And from that very moment, when Adam and Eve were tricked by the serpent in wanting to be like God, I believe this is why we struggle with sin tonight. From that very moment, instead of seeking to give their life in honor and worship and glorifying God and finding all of their satisfaction and joy in the creator of this universe who had made Adam and Eve in their image, from that moment on, the human race has had the problem of sin and a love of it. And you say, what did they love and what do I love? Well, we love ourselves. We want to be God. They wanted to be like God. And the serpent, who is known as Satan in the Bible now, he also wanted to be God, and he didn't want to worship God as the true and living God. I wonder, would you agree with that tonight? Would you agree that you want to be the God of your life? Would you agree that you want people to worship you, to love you, to respect you, to honor you, to make you feel loved? Perhaps deep down inside of you, you've been running after pleasure in your life. Because as we heard, this is really the first point, that why do we love sin? Sin is pleasurable. It brings an instant gratification. And many of the things that we do, God created us for to do them. But because of sin in our lives, we do them in all the wrong ways. God created sex to be in a marriage between a man and a woman, but many of us, because of this broken relationship with God, we do it in all the wrong ways because we want instant gratification. And God gave us many other good things in this life, but because we want this instant pleasure and this instant gratification, we choose to have it in the wrong ways. So sin, why do we love it? It brings pleasure for a while. I want to introduce you to another sportsman tonight. I'm sure some of you know him. His name is Tiger Woods. And he was said to be the most talented golfer to ever walk the planet. He was going to take Jack Nicklaus's record of the most major championships. But some of you who watch golf on TV will see that Tiger Woods is a shadow of his former self. And I want you to listen to what he said after some of his sin issues were revealed. And listen to, these are the actual words of Tiger Woods on the BBC website and Tiger's own personal website. Listen to what he said about reflecting on his life. I was unfaithful. I had affairs and I cheated. What I did was unacceptable. I'm the only person to blame. I stopped living by the core values I was taught to believe in. I knew my actions were wrong, but I convinced myself that normal rules didn't apply. I never thought about who I was hurting. Instead, I only thought about myself. I ran straight through the boundaries a married couple should live by. I thought I could get away with whatever I wanted to do. Listen to how Tiger explains this. And as I read it out, listen to how Tiger became the god of his own life. I thought I could get away with whatever I wanted to. I felt that I'd worked hard my entire life and I deserved to enjoy all of the temptations around me. I felt I was entitled, and thanks to money and fame, I didn't have far to go to find them. I was wrong and I was foolish. And then listen to this last phrase, and when I read this, it just resonated in my heart. He said this, Tiger Woods said this, it's up to me to start living a life of integrity. It's hard to admit that I need help, but I do. I have a lot to atone for. Tiger Woods, one of the most gifted golfers ever to walk the planet. The whole world at his feet. Yet because he loves sin and its pleasure and its instant gratification and satisfaction, and because all the people in the world and the media, they elevated him to a position of God, he thought that his life was in a sense all about him and all about pleasing himself. And here he is saying, reflecting back on his love of sin and saying, I was wrong. I've hurt my friends, my family, my wife, my kids. And Tiger Woods, you hear his heart. There's an achingness in his heart, looking for someone to restore this broken relationship. And here he says, I need help. I have a lot to atone for. So is there help for Tiger tonight? And is there help for you tonight if you will admit with me that we all have a problem? If you'll admit with me that the reason that we love sin is because it brings instant gratification and it kind of lifts us out of the normal problems of life. And you say, Johnny, what's the good news tonight? Well, there's really two answers to it. Firstly, Jesus has come to pay the penalty for sin. Jesus has come to pay the penalty for our love of sin. And if you're here tonight and people in your past have left you broken, hurt, and abandoned, which led you into a life of a love of sin, well, what I'm about to say is for you. If you're here tonight and you're tired trying to save yourself, you're tired of this life, you're tired of trying to clean yourself up, what I'm about to say is for you. If you're here tonight and you believe that all that I said about the origin of sin and where it's come from, our desire and our need of its pleasure and its instant satisfaction, then what I'm about to say is for you. If you're here tonight and you feel dirty from the past, you feel downcast because of your past. And perhaps like Gary Speed tonight, you're maybe despairing of life itself. Well, what I'm about to say is for you. God is not finished with you yet. God is not finished with you yet. In fact, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he sent his one and his only Son into the world. That whosoever, you mean me tonight, I'm feeling dirty, downcast, despairing, broken, yeah. That whosoever believes in me shall not perish but have eternal life. That's some of the greatest news you will ever hear in your life. Jesus Christ came to take the penalty for sin. I want to share with you one other verse under this point, and some of you who are on Facebook or some of you are on Twitter, this would be the greatest status update you could ever put, I believe, on your Facebook status. Or if you were to tweet something tonight, this is my favorite verse that I would tweet about what God has done in my life, about how he has paid the penalty for my sin. Because in Northern Ireland, we've so got it wrong, and even Ruyan was saying some of the South African culture has got it wrong, that we think following Christ is all about rules and regulations. That we've got to clean ourselves up before God will accept us and before this relationship can be restored. But listen tonight about how God restores broken relationships. Listen tonight about how God comes to those people like you and me tonight who love sin. Romans chapter 5. And verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, do you hear that? So you come here tonight and you're maybe addicted to drugs, you're maybe addicted to pornography, You may be addicted to alcohol. You may be addicted to what your friendship group thinks about you. You may be addicted to so many things that you would be afraid to tell anyone tonight. Listen to this verse. But God demonstrates His own love for you, in that while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. That's the greatest news you will ever hear. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to get into some sort of rules and regulations. All you have to do is to come tonight and say, Father, I love sin. I love its pleasure. But I know if I come to you in repentance and faith that there's eternal joy and eternal hope to be found in following you and not this instant gratification. You know, it doesn't end there. Jesus didn't just come to pay the penalty for sin. And this is my last point tonight. Normally I speak for about an hour, so I'm only speaking for 20 minutes tonight, so hope you'll be a bit happier with that. Jesus has come to break the power of sin. He not only pays for your penalty for sin, but He comes to break the power of sin. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus Himself told the world why He came. He said, I became, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Some of you are captive to your sin. It's like a master over you. Maybe nobody else knows about it, but you do. Some of you are blind to your sin. You want to follow Jesus, but in a sense, the sin in your life is just blinding you from wanting to follow Him. And Jesus said, I've come for people like you. I haven't come for the religious types who have tried to clean themselves up on this outside. I've come for sinners. It's great news. It's amazing news. One of my favorite writers said this, and I just want to share it with you. What difference does it make when Jesus breaks the power of the love of sin in our lives? Listen to what he said. Because Jesus was strong for us, in this world that we live, we're free to be weak. Because Jesus won for us on the cross, we're free to lose, because He's won, He's the champion, and He's the greatest. He's our joy and He's our satisfaction. Because Jesus was someone, He was the Son of God. He came down to earth to rescue people like you and me who love sin. Because He's won, we're free to lose. Because He's someone, we're free to be no one, because our identity is in Him. Because Jesus was extraordinary, we're free to be ordinary. And this series that we've been looking at has been entitled Free For All. You were, in a sense, free to ask any question you want. We try to answer it for you, and I know we've, in a sense, stumbled our way to some of the answers. But this series has been called Free For All. I want to close this series with an illustration about finding freedom. And it was in the American Civil War, where the North of America was fighting the South. And after the Civil War was over, a northerner came down into the South and went to a slave market where some of the black people were in a sense to be able to be bought. And this northern soldier went to the slave market and bought this black lady in the slave market. And he bought her, and they were walking away, and in a sense she was now his slave. And the northern soldier turned and said to this black lady, you're now free. And the lady turned and looked at him. What do you mean I'm free? And the soldier turned back to her and said, you're free? And she couldn't grasp it. And she turned back and said, what do you mean I'm free to do whatever I want and to go wherever I want and to say whatever I say? He said, you're free. And she thought about it. Free to go wherever I want. Free to do whatever I want to do. Free to say whatever I want to say. The world was opened up to her. She was now free. And she turned to her master and she said to him, then I'll go with you. And you know, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and as the Bible says, you come to Him in repentance and faith, and you acknowledge to Him tonight, you know, God, I've been in slavery to sin. And I can say it perhaps for the very first time tonight. And you freed me from it. Do you know what? You're so in love with Jesus Christ. That even though the world opens up to you, the Bible says that your shackles are taken off. You're so amazed at this Savior that you say, well, I want to go with you. I wonder, is God speaking to some of you tonight? And I'm going to put up a few words here on the screen, and I just want to read them out. And I'm going to leave a few moments silence, and you can just bow your heads with me, and I'm going to read some of these things out. And just a few moments, I'm going to pray this prayer, and as some of you feel convicted by God's Spirit tonight, and you want to pray that with me, you can do that now. So let's bow our heads, and I'm going to say some of these words. And if you feel God's Spirit moving on you tonight, and you want to find this freedom, this great salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, well, then maybe you want to say some of these words with me in your own heart. Father God, I had come to you and I admit that I have rebelled against you in my sin, living life my way rather than your way. I've done wrong things for which I'm truly sorry. I believe that Jesus Christ came to earth to live a perfect life that I failed to live, and then went to the cross to die in my place, taking the punishment that I deserve to rescue me. So I ask you to forgive me for my sins and my rebellion. I know it will not be easy, but as I count the cost, I'm asking you to help me live my new life for you. In Jesus' name, amen.